Some Christians, instead of learning to fight the devil, they have been giving in to the devil. They have been compromising. They have not been standing up for God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Our broadcast airing tonight is the first part of another message in Pastor Brian Grant's series on the book of Ephesians. We are now in chapter 6. And this evening, Pastor Grant will be sharing from God's Word as he identifies three things every Christian must know in order to stand fast in resisting the wiles of the devil. Pastor Grant will be using as his main text verses 10 through 20 in Ephesians 6. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn there and follow along with us as Pastor Grant brings his message entitled, Stand Your Ground. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Jack was a 12-year-old boy who was confronted every day by a bully at school. And this bully every day demanded that Jack turn over his lunch money. Well, Jack was a little stripling, like how I was when I was growing up. And so he didn't feel he should fight this bully because he knew who would be the automatic winner. So every day, Jack turned over his lunch money to the bully. But one day, Jack finally said, enough is enough. I'm tired of being pushed around by this bully. So Jack decided he was going to learn karate. So he found a karate instructor nearby that was on his way home from school. And the karate instructor said to him, Jack, you're going to need about 3 lessons each week, and it's $10 a lesson. Well, okay, Jack had to think about that. So Jack started thinking, and he said, 3 lessons a week at $10 a lesson, that's $30. And he said, I only have $5 lunch money. The bully is only taking $5 a day from me, 5 times 5. He's getting $25. The lessons is going to cost me $30 to learn karate. I'm only losing $25 to this bully. And so Jack thought it over. And Jack decided it was cheaper to give the bully the money than to fight. So for the rest of the whole school year, the bully kept beating up Jack and taking his lunch money. You know, some Christians are like Jack. Some Christians, instead of learning to fight the devil, they have been giving in to the devil. They have been compromising. They have not been standing up for God. But God wants us to know this morning that He has made it possible for us to stand up and fight. He has made it possible for us to stand our ground against the devil. My Bible tells me that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And so this morning, as we wrap up our study on the book of Ephesians, I want to bring you a message entitled, Stand Your Ground. Amen. And I hope this morning that everybody, no matter your age, no matter your stage in life, that you will pay attention to what God has for us, because there's some incredibly practical teaching in the passage in front of us as we talk to you this morning about what? Standing your ground. I ain't gonna let Satan push me around, amen? I'm not gonna let Satan control my life. Because by God's almighty power, I am going to stand my ground. Are you ready to stand your ground? Well, there are 3 important things in this text that we must know if we're going to stand our ground. The first thing that we must know the strategy of our enemy. And if you're a visitor, there's an outline in the bulletin that you might want to use to follow us along. We must know the strategy of our enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11. Here's how it reads. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to what? To stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Sometimes people get on your last nerve. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, they get on your last nerve. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you believe people are the enemy. But the Bible is telling us, hey, the real enemy is not that onerous person that you meet. The real enemy is not that parent. Oh yes, young people, sometimes we think it's that parent who won't let you do what you want to do. Listen, the real enemy, people are not the real enemy. Our real enemy is the devil. And the devil is so slick, he has fooled many into believing that stories of his existence are fairy tales. Do you know that there are people who believe that there is no devil, that it's all a fairy tale? I want to tell you, the devil is for real, for real. When it really hit me hard, how real he is some years ago when I was still a teenager, and one of the elders in the church took in one of their relatives, and apparently this relative had been involved with some sort of demonic issue in her early life. And so when this young lady came to stay with the elder, somehow the house started being stoned. But the strange thing about the stoning that the house was experiencing is that there were nobody throwing the stones. So they called in all of the elders. And how we know the story is because my dad had to go over. All the elders went over to this home. And my dad said, there was just a barrage of stones hitting the house. But when you look, there was nobody throwing the stones. The stones were being thrown by a person who you could not see, or persons you could not see. And they were hitting the roof. And then finally, as they were gathered in the room, the iron jumped up off of the iron board. It literally jumped up off of the iron board, and it came flying at them. I'm not making this up. The iron came flying after them and dropped at their feet, and the elders started praying. And listen, do you know after the elders prayed in the power of the Holy Spirit, there were no more stones? Listen, God gave the victory, and I'm here to tell you, there is a real devil, but greater is he that what is in us than he that is in the world. So I'm not one of the Christians who are afraid of the devil. I go to some churches and everybody's running scared of the devil. We don't have to run scared of the devil. We can stand our ground. But listen, the devil is up to some stuff. He's determined to destroy us. He heads the forces of darkness. There is a dark side. The Bible tells you, it talks about principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. There is an organized system of darkness that's headed by Satan. I don't want to spend all the time talking about the realm of darkness, but the Bible is exposing it to us. Listen, the Bible indicates that when Satan sinned, 1/3 of all the angels fell with him. The Bible says there are an innumerable number of angels. 1/3 of an innumerable number is an innumerable number. There are an innumerable number of demon spirits, of fallen angels who are ready and willing to do Satan's bidding. Satan is not omnipotent. The reason he can attack you and he attacks you is because there are all these other forces of darkness who are controlled by Satan. And young person, it's time for you to wake up. These are not the days for you to go through your Christian life half asleep, because the devil is trying to destroy you. He said, Pastor, are you sure? Listen, the devil hates God. And since you are made in the image of God, the devil hates you. He hates me. And the devil, since he can't fight God. He's going to fight you. He's going to fight me. And he's doing everything he can to destroy us. But hallelujah, we can be victorious. Amen. Hallelujah. We can stand our ground. One of the reasons why it's so hard to fight the devil is because the Bible uses the word the wiles. He's cunning. You see, the devil has a tendency not to come in open warfare. He has a tendency, he prefers to use deceit to trap us. So he puts temptations in our way. Am I right about that? He makes the world seem alluring. He encourages us to engage in sinful pleasures, pretending they are harmless. Well, I'm talking to somebody here this morning and you're involved in some sinful pleasure. You're involved in something and you think it's so cute. Listen, that's part of the trick of the devil. His job is to make sin seem so attractive, so alluring. And the devil makes you believe there's no consequence. You can do what you want and you will get away with it. Oh, I know there's some person here this morning who God is talking to because you're doing your stuff and you figure, oh, I'm getting away with it. You're not getting away with it. And listen, the devil, that's his trick. His job is to trap you into believing everything is okay. There was a break in an electronics store one night. The police responded to the alarm. And since they didn't find anything missing, they assumed there had been no crime. But a crime had happened. In the morning when shoppers came in, they found high definition flat screen television selling for $1.50. But the cable was selling for $1,500. Batteries were selling for $600. But laptop computers were selling for $4. I can hear some of your boy, I wish I was there. The thieves had simply switched the price tags. That's what Satan has done. He has switched the price tags. He has got us to believe that God's gift and the blessings of God are not very valuable. But he has gotten us to believe that sinful pleasure and the allures of Satan. Come on, young man, because God wants to talk to you this morning. Somehow Satan has got us to believe that what he's promising, what he's promoting, fame and popularity and wealth, that these are the things that are valuable. This is just the trick of the enemy. He has switched the price tags.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, Solomon had all this stuff. Solomon had wealth. Solomon had fame. Solomon had pleasure. He had the best wine. And for those of you who figure if you had a whole lot of marriage partners or sexual partners, you would be just having a great time. Solomon had hundreds of women. Hundreds. He had it all. And at the end of his life, Solomon said, it's vanity of vanities. He says, listen, it's nothing but a bubble that's burst. It's not worth anything. And so he says, listen, the duty of man is to fear God. And young person, you can go and continue and allow Satan to trick you and to twist the price tags. But at the end of the journey, you will find out the only thing of meaning is to go God's way. And I'm going to ask you this morning, determine right now to go God's way. Amen. Listen, it's time to be aware, to wise up to Satan's wiles. It's time to know the strategy of our enemy. But second, we must know the sufficiency of our equipment. Put that down. We must know the sufficiency of our equipment. Look at verse 13. It says here in Ephesians 6:13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to... Oh, I hope you saw it. We will withstand, and at the end of the battle, we will still be what? Listen, listen, listen. God's armor is sufficient. When we take up the armor of God, we will be able to stand our ground. So what is this armor? Look at verses 14 to 17. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's dig a little deeper into these six components of God's armor. Number one is the belt of truth. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The first component is the belt of truth, or some of your Bibles might say what? The girdle of truth. And listen, that belt holds all the other parts of the armor together. And just like the belt holds the armor together, truth, listen to me good, truth is the integrating force in the life of the victorious Christian. Truth is the integrating force in the life of every Christian, because once a lie gets into the life of a believer, everything will soon fall apart. I hope you heard me. You know, it's very interesting that in Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says there are six things that God hates. Seven are an abomination. And as you look at that list of seven things, it's interesting that lying is mentioned twice. Did you realize that? He says he hates a lying tongue, and he also says, I hate a false witness who speaks lies. God hates lies. Satan is the father of lies. God hates lying. Lying is a big deal. But sometimes in our Christian circles, we feel it's okay to slip in a little lie here and there. Am I right about that? We slip in a little lie here and there, and we treat it as if it's no big deal, but it is a big deal. And so at the very outset, as God talks about the armor that allows us to stand our guard, the very first thing he says is, listen, truth, the belt of truth, the integrating force in your life must be truth. And God is talking to somebody here this morning, because I'm sure there's somebody here who the Spirit of God is tapping you on the shoulder and said, listen, you are not been very truthful. You've been lying. You tell lies to make yourself look good, to get out of situations. And it's not okay. It's not okay. The belt of truth has got to be the integrating force. For over a year, David lied about his sin with Bathsheba, and nothing went right. My friend, God is speaking to us this morning. It doesn't matter who you are. The number one, the belt of truth. But secondly, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Verse 14 tells us, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was a very important part of the Roman soldier's armor, because the breastplate covered the heart and other vital parts of the body. And in the same way, listen, stay with me now, in the same way, here's what God is trying to get across, that righteousness of character and moral integrity are critical parts of our armor. Do you hear what I'm saying? Righteousness of character and moral integrity are critical parts of our armor. For our integrity, listen, our character is either going to strengthen us against Satan attacks or weaken us against Satan's attacks. Turn, if you don't mind, to a very interesting passage of scripture. Hold your Bible there in Ephesians, 1 Kings chapter 22. Very interesting passage of scripture here in 1 Kings chapter 22. And as you try and get there, I'll just give you the background for the story. Because King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And there was a meeting between him and the king of Israel. And it turns out that the king of Israel, he was worried that he could be in danger. And so he camouflaged himself. He wore an armor, but he didn't wear what a king should wear, so no one would know who he was. And so Jehoshaphat was dressed as the king. And so Jehoshaphat was dressed as a king. The king of Israel was pretending not to be king to protect himself, his neck. But look at what happens here in verse number 34 of 1 Kings chapter 22. Now a certain man drew a bow at random. Don't miss that word. This is so interesting that the Bible takes the time to put that word there. A certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Isn't that interesting? This man just pulls a bow and shoots at random, and it strikes the king of Israel in the joints of his armor. So the king said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded." The battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians and died at evening. The blood ran out from the wound onto the floor of the chariot. Listen, the king of Israel had a gap in his armor, and a random arrow killed him. You say, "Brother Brian, so what? So what?" There is a very powerful lesson here for us. Because what the Bible is letting us know, we be living an 80% or a 95% life of integrity, according in your opinion. There is no such thing. Amen? But as far as you're concerned, you're doing a great job. Your character is almost tight. It's 98%. There's only a 2% gap in your spiritual armor. And here is what God is trying to say: if there is any gaps, wherever we have a deficiency in our breastplate of righteousness, wherever there is a gap, Satan is going to find a way to find that hole, and he's going to attack you exactly where that little hole is. Are you with me this morning? Satan discovered David's area of weakness, and that's exactly where he attacked him to commit adultery with Bathsheba. And God is asking you this morning, as he's asking me, even as I prepare this message, what is your area of weakness? What is the gap in your spiritual armor? Oh, don't pretend, because I have a feeling that if you pretend that I'm okay, you're lying before God. So you're messing up part one. If you pretend you're okay because you're not okay, there is that gap. And what God is saying to us as a church and to individuals, as individuals, we need to pay attention. If we're going to stand against the devil, if we are going to stand our ground, he's saying it is important that we pay attention to our character and that we're living lives of integrity. You and I know that many well-known Christians, many well-known preachers have fallen because they lacked integrity in just one area. They were tremendous servants of God, but they were weak in one area, and the devil attacked that one area and totally destroyed their ministry. And what a tragedy it would be that after all these years of serving God and walking with God, that Satan was able to attack you at your point of weakness. This morning, it's time, my friend, as we talk about this theme, stand in your ground. May God help us to be honest before Him. And that this morning we'll say, God, I need your help. God, I have an area of weakness. God, help me here. God, help me. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.